Sometimes it seems that the hurrier you go, the behinder you get. I'm right up to chapter 7 of Epiphany. Hi, good to join you today. Been a busy week, as we would say. At least personally, it's been a busy week. But right now, let's just roll right into chapter 7 of Epiphany. Chapter 7. There was something missing or something added. Dan couldn't determine exactly what was going on when he woke up at 3 in the morning. He reached over just to touch Emily for reassurance before he realized that he was alone in an unfamiliar place. He turned over, thinking that if he positioned himself just a little differently, he might fall right back asleep. 3:15. He shouldn't have turned his cell phone over to see the time. Too late. He was anxious about something. Nothing. He got up to use the bathroom, barely recalling where he could find the bathroom. The sound of his urine hitting the water in the toilet reassured him. He was ready. He could go back to sleep. 3:33. Damn. He threw the covers off, hoping to dissipate the warmth of his body into the room around him. Dan was either too hot or too cold for another half an hour. At 4:12, he finally surrendered. Sleep eluded him. Why? He had no schedule, no agenda for the day. Breakfast followed by a hike in the surrounding woods, followed by... there was no agenda. He wandered to the front door of the cabin, hesitating ever so briefly before opening the door and stepping outside. A cool mist enveloped him. He breathed in deeply, then became fully awake. The cacophony of night noises which lulled him asleep just a few hours before abated as if in anticipation of a cool, quiet dawn. Those noises were replaced by the rhythmic chirping of birds in the surrounding forest, abetted by the quiet rush of forest animals going about their usual morning routines. "God is still alive," Dan remarked to no one in particular as he stood on the cabin porch soaking in the morning. He took several deep breaths before going back inside to put on clothes and a pair of running shoes. He waited until there was enough light to allow him to run unhindered along a path leading down to the main road, where he could do an easy 5 miles before traffic became an issue. On the return trip, he was paced for half a mile by a sheriff's deputy who was friendly enough to offer words of encouragement when he passed. "God is still alive," Dan thought out loud again. He turned to go back up the path to the cabin. Donald Gooding was out on the front porch, taking his morning cup of coffee. Dan stopped for a quick word regarding breakfast before continuing to the guest cabin where he was staying. A quick shower, followed by a change of clothing later, Dan was back down the path to go with the other pastor to breakfast at the Canaan Resort. "If it was just me, I'd settle for a bowl of cornflakes in the morning," Pastor Gooding stated when they walked into the resort's dining room. "Your being here gives me an excuse to indulge a little." "Just as long as you don't indulge too much," Dan pointed out. "That's why I started running. My indulgences were getting the better of me. Fortunately, I was able to latch on to a running coach." "Well, send him my way, won't you?" Pastor Gooding said, looking down at his waist. "He's a she. Moved up from Texas with her boyfriend a year or two back. The boy runs the local drugstore. She's finishing up law school." "Oh, maybe you can teach me a little while you're here," the pastor suggested. "I'll think about it," Dan said when they sat down at the breakfast table. Dan and Pastor Gooding had a wide-ranging conversation at breakfast, occasionally interrupted by a staff who knew the local pastor. Dan observed some of the guests in the dining room. A couple of them up on vacation up from Richmond, he later learned. A small family with a precocious child reminding him of Grace and Hope, and a man who reminded him of someone he thought he'd seen in and around Magnolia. Every time he tried to get a better look at the other man's face, the other man turned away. Dan wondered if the other man's aversion was coincidental or intentional. "Don't be obvious, but there's a man sitting over at a table 3 rows away from the window," Dan whispered to his host. "Is he someone you've seen before?" Pastor Gooding spent the better part of a minute maneuvering to get a look at the man Dan asked about. "Maybe once," he reported, "but then again I can't be too sure. He might be one of the summer people who show up at services once or twice a year." "I've seen him, but I can't quite place him," Dan confided. "It's been recently, too, like within the past month or so." The stranger seemed to know that he was under observation. He left the dining room with his face turned away from the two pastors. After breakfast, Dan decided to tarry for a while at the resort while Pastor Gooding went into town to make some calls. "I'll be back around 4 or so to give you a lift back to the house," Pastor told Dan. "If you want to swing back earlier, call me on your cell phone and I can arrange for a ride." Dan took advantage of a situation to do a little bit of walking and listening. He managed to find a path down to the nature center where he had a long discussion about the local flora and fauna with a naturalist. He found curiosities at the gift shop of interest to everyone in his family and nearly exhausted the budget he had set aside for purchasing gifts to bring back home. One of the employees at the nature center mentioned something about heading back to town. Dan asked if he could hitch a ride back to Pastor Gooding's. The employee was only too happy to oblige. On the way out of the resort property, Dan spotted the mystery man from breakfast hiking alongside of the road headed toward town. For a few moments, he considered doubling back and offering the man a ride after dropping his souvenirs at the cabin. Another part of him decided not to bother. "He has his own life and his own right to privacy," Dan decided. "Besides, it's probably just coincidence." When he arrived, he left his host a short message telling him not to bother picking him up, had a quick lunch consisting of a peanut butter sandwich and a glass of tea, took a short nap followed by a short hike into the nearby woods. It was glorious. Dan's mind was an idle for most of the day. He didn't have a flock to worry about or a sermon to write. His church was in good hands. Emily's spiritual revival since moving the family to Magnolia 4 years earlier was a blessing in more ways than one. She was quite capable of organizing services in the temporary quarters at the high school by herself, and there were always plenty of extra hands available to help. Pastor Gooding came by the cabin late in the afternoon while Dan was on his hike. He left a note inviting his visitor to dinner at a place south of Canaan Valley Resort. Dinner was at 7. The evening was pleasant enough for Dan, Donald, and Jennifer to sit out on the patio and enjoy a mild breeze. After dinner, Dan decided to drive into Davis to purchase a few items at the grocery store. On his way in, he thought he saw the same man he'd seen at morning breakfast buffet. He thought about approaching the young man to engage in a conversation. By the time he was parked, the man was nowhere to be seen. No matter, Dan thought. Small town. He'll show up again. Something bothered him about the stranger. He couldn't figure out why. Dan drove back to the state park and staked out a place to lay down to stargaze for a while. His only interruption was a phone call from Emily. She had apparently had a rough day. Assuring words were passed. He felt at peace for a while longer. It was just after midnight when he returned to the cabin to go to bed. Just after 6 the next morning, he was awakened by someone pounding on the door. "Dan! Dan Stevens, open up! Deputy Larson from the county sheriff's office." Dan threw on a robe and went to meet the visitor. Well, there were actually 3. Pastor Donald Gooding, Deputy Larson, and a third man dressed in a jacket with FBI written on it stood on the porch. "Can you account for your whereabouts last evening after you had dinner with Pastor Gooding?" the deputy demanded. There was no hello, no good morning, nothing, just a demand. Dan's tongue stumbled while he recounted his activities from the previous evening. "Why, what's the matter?" he concluded. "Pastor Gooding's church burned down last night," the fellow in the FBI jacket spoke up. "There was a strong odor of gasoline indicated the fire may have been deliberately set. We understand that the church you're in charge of in Ohio burned down not too long ago." The horror of watching the Magnolia Community Church go up in flames instantly returned to Pastor Dan. "We need to run you into the sheriff's office so we can ask a few questions," the G-man continued. Get dressed and come with us. That's the end of chapter 7. Chapter 8 will come next week, probably about the same time. We've been working on a couple of things other than what's going on here with Pastor Gooding, Pastor Dan, and a few other folks. Next week we will have a little bit of what's going on with Emily. Leaving Pastor Dan in the moment, getting dressed and ready to go and answer some questions. So that's really about it. Nothing else to report. We're going to get this on tier and into the chute by noon Central Time today. In the meantime, author B.D. Harrell, be seeing you.